Let's pray together. Lord, we bring our gifts and offerings and tithes to you this morning, but we acknowledge that everything we have and everything we are comes from thee in the first place. We thank you that you are the giver of every good and perfect gift, and we acknowledge that in gladly and freely giving to you this morning, to your work. We pray, O Lord, that you will receive these offerings. You have no need of them, we know. And yet we pray that you will receive them from our grateful hearts and hands and bless them and use them to your glory in this place and further afield. And we pray, O Lord, that you will give to us now as we come to your word. Give to us, O Lord, richly. Give to us understanding. Give to us acceptance and acknowledgement of your word. Give to us submission. Give to us obedience. Give to us yourself. Give to us your spirit. Thank you that in Christ Jesus you've given yourself to us. Give all that we are in need of now, Lord, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In over 40 years of ministry, I preached on many passages. And I've preached completely through many of the books of the Bible, as Steve has done as well. What I've not done is I've not preached from the beginning of the Bible to the end of it. And since I don't know how much longer I've got on this planet, none of us do, I thought I'd better hurry up and do that. And then I thought, well, I still don't know how much longer I've got on this planet, so I better hurry up and do that all in one day, just in case. So I'm glad the clocks weren't working, because I thought I'd preach all the way through the Bible today. This morning we're going to look at beginnings, and this evening we're going to look at ends. But I won't preach every verse of the Bible, I promise. What we're going to look at is this first verse of the first chapter of the first book of the Bible. Because the truth is, the first 11 chapters of Genesis absolutely fascinate me. Creation to the flood and the time of Abraham, they offer to us an explanation for how this world is the way it is, and for everything that happens afterwards, right up to today. You can't understand today unless you can understand Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 and 3 and 4, right up to chapters 11 and then beyond. So if we want to understand these chapters, if we want to understand this very first verse of the Bible, then we have to ask questions of it. It's always good when you take a verse in the Bible, it's always good to ask questions of it. And it will give you answers. God will give you answers if you just meditate on that verse. Try it. Do it often. It works. So what I want us to do simply this morning is to ask questions of this first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we're going to ask, who? And we're going to ask, what? And we're going to ask, when? And where? And why? So unlike the good Baptists that only preach 3 points this morning, I've got 5 for you. But I'll be quick, I promise. The clock seems to be working now. So let's start with the question, who? Well, there's really only 2 alternatives there. And one of those is a what rather than a who. What created the heavens and the earth? If you say what, then you have to say the Big Bang. You've heard of that, of course, haven't you? There are those who deny the very existence of God, and they go for a Big Bang that created it all. It's known as the singularity theory in scientific circles. A child, on being taught in school the theory of the Big Bang that created the universe, asked what was there before the Big Bang? How did the universe exist before the Big Bang? And the child was told there was nothing there before the Big Bang. And so the child said, well, what went bang then? Yeah. You see? You've got to have something to go bang. But the explanation for that is even more confusing. Apparently, according to those who deny the existence of God, the universe is expanding and then contracting, blowing up and shrinking, banging and condensing, and the universe is eternal. It's not an eternal God. They say, no, that's nonsense. But the universe is eternal. Bang and shrink and bang and shrink. And it's been 13.5 billion years since we banged. But the trouble is, when you bang something, It goes and it goes and it goes, and then it begins to slow, and then it drops and stops. Well, that's the way bangs work, isn't it? But when they measure the speed of acceleration in the universe, they find that the galaxies are actually flying apart faster now than when they reckon the Big Bang happened, or shortly after the Big Bang. They're actually accelerating away, not slowing up and going to condense back into a Big Bang once more. I won't go into the explanation they've given as to why that's happening. I don't want to talk about fairy stories this morning. I want to talk about truth. Let's come to real facts. The real fact, when we talk about who created the universe, is that the Bible gives us a straightforward answer. I like straightforward answers, don't you? I like people to tell me the truth. That's why if a politician knocks on my door during this next election campaign, I'm likely to shut the door in their face, because I know I won't get a straightforward answer off them. You never do. That's the whole point of being a politician. Don't give a straight answer to a question. But the Bible gives you a straight answer. Bible, tell me, who created the heavens and the earth? God, says the Bible. God. But then we have to ask, well, who is this God? And we're given a clue there in the very first verse, because in the original Hebrew, the Hebrew word for God is Elohim. Elohim. And that's actually a plural word. It's a hint in the very beginning of the Bible, if you like, that God is much more complicated than we are. It's a hint that God is much more complicated than we can ever comprehend. The rest of the Bible reveals to us that there are three persons or personalities within one God. All of them are God, and it's not that each one of them is a third of God, and yet there is only one God and not three gods. And if you can understand that, please explain it to me, because I can't comprehend that, but I don't expect to. I expect my God to be bigger than I can ever contain him in my tiny little mind. The Bible speaks of him in these terms, and we describe it as a holy trinity, three in one. And we speak of him as a triune God, the three in one God. In fact, we have a further hint of his multiple personality, if you like, in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1. It says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Now clearly this is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, and he is at work during creation. But then there's no mention in these verses of the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, who became Jesus Christ, the man. But the Bible doesn't put it all out there in the very beginning. Sorry, that's not an intentional pun. The Bible doesn't tell you everything straight away. It gradually reveals God to us. That's why you need the whole of the Bible. And we have to wait until later on, perhaps till John's Gospel, to discover what involvement the Son of God had in creation. And when you turn to John's Gospel in chapter 1, you discover there in the first few verses that, speaking of Jesus Christ, the Word, as he's called there, John tells us all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Wow. So the triune God was responsible for creation. Each person of the Godhead playing his part to bring about this universe into existence. But let me rush on. If that's a brief answer to the who, let's use the verse I've just quoted to examine the question, what? What did God create? Well, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And if we want to know exactly what's included in that, John has already told us in that verse. He says, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Now I'm retired. There's nothing I enjoy more than a little bit of carpentry. I love banging a few nails into things. I'm not very good at it, so please don't form a queue to ask me to help you out with shelves and so on. But for any job that I choose to take on, I need the materials. And I need the tools. God needed no materials, and his only tool was his voice. Let there be, and there was. Now that's amazing. That's incredible. To create things from no things, to create something from nothing, only God can do. To quote that well-known theologian, Julie Andrews, from The Sound of Music, she says in one of her songs,
Nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. I won't carry on singing it. But that's quite true. Nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. Except for the miracle of God creating. Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 15 says, He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heaven by his understanding. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all thy works thy hand hath made, sun, moon, and stars continue at thy pleasure. Then sings my soul, how great thou art. What did he make? When did he make it? The atheist says, now I worked this out and I know the answer to this. There wasn't a God. The Big Bang happened, says the atheist, 13.5 million years ago. Billion years ago. Let me get it right. Do you know what? The atheist believes in miracles. He just believes they take an awful long time to happen. The Christian believes in miracles and knows that with God, miracles can happen instantly. And God said, and there was. There's the miracle of instant creation. When did all this really happen? Not 13.5 billion years ago. Well, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, when it happened, in the beginning. There you are. God began time and space. In fact, Einstein says that time space is something altogether. Time is a fourth dimension of space. I can't quite get my head around that, but okay, whether you call it time and space or time space, God began that. Time didn't exist before God created it, and God isn't limited by time as we are. He began it, and he exists outside of time in eternity. Equally well, God isn't limited by space. He is spirit. And the universe can't contain him. But that's a cop-out now. When you say God began the universe in the beginning, what do you mean? We atheists can point to 13.5 billion years. Come on, come up with a time. Come up with a date. Where are you Christians? Can we work out how old this world is? Can we work out how old this universe is? Can we work out when the beginning was that the Bible speaks about? Well, yes, we can. It's a matter of simple mathematics. I'll take you through the figures afterwards if you want to. But you know full well from reading your Bible that much of the Bible is a careful record of historical facts so that our faith can be built upon the truth rather than upon fairy tales. You know for a fact that there are many genealogies in the Bible, recording the lines of descents of various people, and you know yourself because you've tried to read list after list of name after unpronounceable name. Some of those genealogies have got the age at which the next person in the line was begot. And that's particularly true in Genesis chapter 5 and Genesis chapter 11. And if you add together all those ages at the time of which someone begat the next generation, you can work out that Adam lived about 2,000 years before Abraham. So the first 11 chapters of the Bible cover about 2,000 years from Adam up to Abraham. And then you can, by simple mathematics in chapter 11, I think it is, work out that Abraham lived about 2,000 years before Christ. So hang on then, we've got 2,000 years up to Abraham from Adam, 2,000 years up to Christ. We got 4,000 years in there. How long have we been living since Christ? Well, about 2,000 years. We're talking of creation about 6,000 years ago, give or take a couple of hundred, perhaps. I haven't been very precise about that. I can be precise. I can take you there afterwards if you like. By simple mathematics, God created all things approximately 6,000 years ago. Right? But the universe looks so much older than that. And we can see light from stars that are supposedly billions of light years away, and the light has taken billions of years to travel to us. How do you explain that? Well, the universe looks much older because it was created with an appearance of age. How old was Adam on the day he was made? He was one day old. How old did Adam look on the day he was made? He looked, I suppose, about 25. We men were at our prime, perhaps, when we were 25-ish, weren't we? Adam was created perfect in the sight of God. He looked in his prime. But he was one day old. What did you look like when you were one day old? You see, God created with an appearance of age. I think God's got a sense of humour. I think he knew that the atheists would try and work out how old the world was and the universe. And I think he deliberately not deceived them. We don't have to be deceived if we know our Bibles. But I think he deliberately set out to make them trip themselves up. He gave it an appearance of age. And he said, now there you are. See what you make of that. God has got a sense of humour, you know. Why did he take a week to create? Was it hard work for him? Was he tired and had to rest at the end of each day? No, he could have created it all instantly. But he chose this period of a week. 24-hour long days, to set us a pattern for our working lives and our day of worship. We are to have 6 days of work and one day of worship. You're not to have an hour of worship on a Sunday morning. Well, you might have a bit longer this morning, I'm going on a bit. But you're not to have an hour of worship, you're to have a day of worship to God. 7 days in a week. Why? The whole world celebrates 7 days in a week. Everybody looks forward to their day off. Why? Well, there's no reason. It's nothing to do with the motion of the sun or the moon or anything. It's an arbitrary quantity of time that God set down for our benefit. And every atheist in the world looks forward to his one day off a week. He can thank God for that day of rest, whatever he does on it. Where? Where did God create? Well, here, there, and everywhere. All of space, the vastness of it, all this vast, lifeless universe. It's been estimated that there are a billion stars in our galaxy, the Milky Way. And it's been estimated that there are a billion galaxies out there beyond our galaxy. But as far as the scientists can tell, our solar system, the sun and these handful of planets of ours, that's at the center, or very near the center of the universe, as far as they can tell, from the way in which the galaxies are flying apart from each other. That's a sign of God's sense of humor as well. Does the universe have a limit then? Is there somewhere where God has not created the universe, the heavens? I expect so, because only God is limitless. But I don't think we'll ever have the ability in this life to see and to measure how far that limit is, because God's ability to create is far greater than our ability to see and acknowledge his creation. The scientists tell us that they found hundreds of other distant planets on which life may exist. Well, we can say that in the vastness of the universe, this is the only planet on which life exists. Not because life evolved on this planet, but because God created life, as the rest of Genesis chapter 1 goes on to explain. It's not that we humans are here because life has been evolving for billions of years. It's that we were all created, we humans and the animals, in that first week of creation at virtually the same time. The plants were created on day 3, the fish and the birds were created on day 5, and animals and man were created on day 6. He intended mankind, you and me, to be his crowning glory, if you like. And he created this planet to sustain us and to benefit us. This universe is no Big Bang accident. You are no accident. You are wonderfully and fearfully made, says the scripture. You're no random collection of molecules. You're God's plan. Every cell in your body is made up of molecules. Every molecule is made up of atoms. Some of the molecules in your cells contain your DNA, this twisted thing that we see on the telly sometimes and they talk about. It's the computer code, the blueprint, the construction diagram for you. Every cell in your body contains the computer code, the blueprint, the construction diagram for you. It is possible to clone you from one of those cells. I'm told it has been done. God forgive us. But I always thought that every computer code had a computer programmer behind it. That every blueprint had a designer to it. That every construction diagram had an architect. God is your programmer. God is your designer, your architect. You are made by Him. And He's given you this world for your benefit. Let's come to the last question. Why? Why did God create? Let me tell you the wrong answer first. I've heard it suggested that God created because in the vastness of time and space, which He also created, in the emptiness that was there before, whatever that was, God got lonely. And in His loneliness, He thought, oh, I'll create a fellow for myself. He didn't make much of a job of it looking at you, did he? Much of a companion? That's absolute rubbish. God wasn't lonely. God isn't lonely. God can't be lonely. Because God is Trinity. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And between the three persons of the Trinity, there is such fellowship, such love, such companionship, that He has no need of anything else beside that. To say that God is lonely paints Him as such a weak, needy thing, doesn't it? He's not that. Let me give you a partially wrong answer. God didn't create because He wanted to show us that He loved us. He does love us, and creation and salvation prove that He loves us, but He didn't create in order to show us that He loved us. If that were the main reason for creation, it would make us the focus and center of God's work, wouldn't it? We would be center stage and God would be somewhere in the wings there, playing a supporting role of some sort. Why did God create? He created to show His glory. He created to show His glory. Think about that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is what the Bible plainly teaches. Where do you stand with regard to that? Do you stand among the atheists, those who believe that there was a big bang and they have no need for God actually then? They can explain everything by natural causes, not supernatural causes, and yet they can't explain how natural causes can cause the natural things that we see here. All they can do is tell us fairy stories about what they think might have happened to bring about this. What I'm getting at is this. There's a world of difference between observable, repeatable science and what's called forensic science. I love Sherlock Holmes mysteries. You have a murder scene. You have a victim. You have a blood-stained knife. You have fingerprints on that knife. You have a witness to a row that took place. You have a lot of money in the possession of the prime suspect, and they shouldn't have that amount of money. And you have to try and work out who the guilty party is. And invariably you get it wrong, don't you? That's the whole point of the program. But that's forensic science. You can't repeat the crime to see what actually took place. So you have to gather together all the facts and try to deduce what happened by the facts that you've got in front of you. The trouble is with atheistic scientists is that they try to answer the question of how it all began, and they deliberately leave out one vital clue and one crucial fact. The vital clue they leave out is the evidence of the Bible. How can you hope to understand the beginning without knowing what the Bible has to say about the beginning? The vital fact they miss out is the existence of God. How can you hope to understand how all this happened if you leave out the possibility that there is a God who made it happen? Is it any wonder then that they arrive at a big bang to create it all? Is it a wonder when they think in terms of evolution that they end up making microbes into microbiologists in about 8 billion years or so? Where do you stand? Not amongst the atheists, I hope. Perhaps you stand among the many Christians who say, I don't get involved in those sort of debates. Those things are too deep for me. But friends, isn't getting involved in this part of witnessing? Doesn't Peter tell us, always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you? If you can't show some of the errors of the thinking of those who try to rule out God, then you lose credibility, my friend. Most people only know a tiny little bit about Darwin's theory of evolution. It's still only a theory. It's never ever been proved, and they can't. But if you can cause them to examine and question their belief in that, and it is a belief, the Holy Spirit can use that questioning to cause them to seek and to lead them to salvation. Where do you stand? Do you stand among those who firmly believe that God made all things in 6 literal days? Do you know a little bit about that to be able to share it with anyone who asks you for a reason why you believe that? Then learn that the universe gives you ample evidence that God made it. And as you look at this amazing world around you, worship him for it, for the glory of his creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out to all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. God made the heavens and the earth in the beginning. Praise God. Let's sing our next hymn, and then we'll come to